All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin a beautiful daf today. Today is daf Chof Gimel 23. We are picking up on Chof Beis on Beis 22b with Amar Rava. Four lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, just to orient ourselves, we're in the midst of a mind-blowing, riveting, exciting machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, namely regarding the nature of Eish, regarding the nature of the liability of Eish. How do we understand one's liability for fire? So remember again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he holds Isho Mishum Chitzav. Your fire is like your arrow. So, which is another way of saying your fire is your koach. Just like your chayiv if you shoot the arrow. The ma'isik, and that's called your koach, that's called your force. So too, again, when you light a fire and that fire goes on and does damage, even though, again, it's the wind that's going ahead and taking the fire, nevertheless, l'maisa, again, you are chayiv because that is your chetz, that is your Reish Lakish says, isho mishum mamono. No, what is your fire? Your fire is your ox, your fire is like a shar, your fire is like a pit, your fire ultimately is your mamon, it's your possessions, it's your property that is doing damage. That's the fundamental machlokes. So yesterday we spent our time trying to understand the different nafkaminas between the two opinions. So now we're going to go back to Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Ukra umas nisa meseyele Rabbi Yochanan. There is a pasuk and a braisa that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan, namely, that isho mishum chitzav, that your fire is like your arrow, that your fire is your koach. What's the pasuk? So the pasuk is, kiteitse eish. Remember the pasuk says, if a fire will break out, teitse me'atzma. So we'll say the Torah recognizes that what? That a fire often takes on a power of its own. So what happens? I light the fire. Remember the paradigmatic case of Eish is I light a fire in my property, and then that fire gets away from me. The wind takes it, something else takes it, and ultimately again burns down my friend's field. So it says kiteitze Eish, teitze me'atzma. There's a recognition that fire spreads on its own. So what does the pasuk say? Yeshalim hamavir es habeira. So ultimately the pasuk says the mavir, the one who kindled the fire, will go ahead and pay back damages to the Be'ira, to the one who has been scorched, to the one who has been burned. So what do you see from here? So says the Gemara, you see from here that the Torah calls the fire my fire. I'm the Mavir. I am the one. I'm the fire master. I'm the fire kindler. So the fact that the Torah calls the fire my fire indicates to us what? According to Rava, this is a support from Yochanan who holds Isha Mishum Chitzav. The fact that the Torah calls the fire my fire tells us that what? That fire is like my arrow, fire is like my koach. That's the Mishnah. Shema, says the pasuk. Shema mina isha mishum chitzav. Learn from this pasuk that my fire is an extension of my koach, it's my arrow. Mas nisa, what's the Mishnah? What's the Mishnah that supports this? The sanya, because we learned, pasuk hakasov, tap of chav gimel, beniske mamono, the siyem beniske gufo. Now the way the pasuk, when talking about ish, begins, the pasuk begins, I talk about kiteitse ish, the pasuk begins by talking about if an eish, kiseitze eish, if the eish leaves. The Torah, when referring to the eish, sounds like eish is what? My mamon, right? Sounds like my ox got away. So too, my fire got away. So v'siyem beniske gufo. But yet, interestingly enough, the pasuk says that the mav, remember, like we said before, shalim yishalim ha-mavir es ha-be'ira. But at the end of the pasuk, the Torah makes me responsible ultimately for what? For the damages of my eish. But it doesn't just make me responsible in a monetary sense, makes me the owner of that eish. Lomar lacha, to teach us, isho mishum chitzav, to teach us ultimately again that when you kindle a fire, ultimately that fire is your arrow, that fire is your koach. So Rabbah comes along and brings the pasuk as well as the Mishnah, which essentially are reflecting the same idea, namely that the pasuk begins by referring to Eish, sounding like its own autonomous entity, ki teitze Eish, the Eish gets away, but yet at the end of the pasuk, Torah says, Shem Shalai HaMavir, by calling me the Mavir, by calling me the kindler, ultimately, again, the Gemara, Rava understands that the Gemara is telling me, the Eish is mine. The Eish is my Koach. Therefore, says Rava, this is apart from Yochanan's position, namely, that Isha Mishem Chitzav, that the Eish, the fire, ultimately is my arrow. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kashile La'abaye, so Rava said, Abaye had the following question. What's his question? Lemadar mishum isha mishum chitzav. So it's according to the opinion who said that your eish is your arrow, your eish is your koach. Tamon be'eish depata rachmana hechi mishkach aslam. Now we're going to learn this later on. There is a special, remember we learned in the beginning of this masechta that each of the arba avos nezikin have their own I'll call it, lack of a better term, like peculiar aspect. The peculiar aspect of Eish is that for Eish you are putter on Tamun. Tamun means, Rabbi said, the following: that if I light a fire in my yard and it burns down Reuven's field, so, and let's say it was a grain field, Samchaya for the grain that was destroyed. Let's say in the field Reuven had he had hidden there a couple of bars of gold. I don't even mean, let's say, dug into the ground. I mean, like, he went ahead and he put some gold in his field, and he covered it. He covered it with a sackcloth to make it blend into the ground. I am not chayiv for the gold that was lost. Right? I'm not chayiv for the gold that was lost. Or he did it with utensils. That's called tamun. Tamun means any damage that was done to something that was hidden or obscured from view, I am potter when it comes to Eish. Now, why that is, we'll discuss later on. But for now, let's just take it as a fact. So the Gemara says like this. Rava says like this. Rava said, Abaye had the following question. Rava says, it's interesting. It's not my question. It's Abaye's question. Right? We'll see why he does that later on. So ultimately, again, Rava said, Abaye had the following question. According to the Mandam, who says, Isho Mishum Chitzov, if you hold that what? That your Ish is your Koach. So Tamon Be'ish Tepater Rachman Eich Mishkach Asla. So we'll say, where are you ever going to have a case of Tamon? Where do you come up with the case where you'll be potter from Tamun? Now look at Rashi. Hechim mishkachas lo, elu adam zorik chetz vehizik betamun lo mechayiv benezek hakaymalon v'hai pirkin petza tachas petza lechayiv es ashogei kemezit. So va'onis kiratzon. So also listen to this. If I were to go ahead and take an arrow, and shoot it into Reuven's field, and let's say Reuven had a utensil that was hidden underneath a sackcloth. So I'm just using sackcloth because it blends into the ground, right? And then what? So it was hidden, and the arrow broke the utensil. Am I chayiv for that breakage? Am I chayiv for that damage? Of course. Because we will say there's no pitur of tamun, there's no pitur of something being hidden when you damage something directly. So that's only a particular, there's only a particular pitur by Eish. So now ask the Gemara the following. According to Rava, who says, Eishu Mishum Chitzov, which means that fire is my arrow, so how will you ever be potter for tamun? Right? I will say again, if you hold that my Eish is my arrow, that means Eish essentially is direct damage. If Eish is direct damage, I should be chayiv for everything the fire damages, the stuff that's visible and the stuff that's not visible as well. To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll give you the case. Kigon shenafla dleika la'osu chatzar, v'nafla geder shlomachmas dleika, v'holcha v'hedlika v'zika b'chatzar acheres. We'll say, listen to this case. Let's say I go ahead, I light a fire in my yard. And then what happens? The wall falls down. The wall falls down in my yard. But the wall falls down, nothing to do with the fire. Right? The wall falls down because of some unexpected occurrence. And as a result, what happens? The fire gets out, and then burns down something hidden in Reuven's field. That'll be a case where I'll be potter from Tamun. Why, Rabbi? I say, listen to this. Because when I kindle the fire, what kind of fire did I kindle? I kindle a fire that was capable of being contained in my property. Extenuating circumstances occurred beyond the scope of my abilities, and the fire, wall fell down, fire spread. Everyone will agree, suggest the Gemara, that's what? That fire is no longer my arrow. Why? Because my arrow, when I shot my arrow, it was contained to a particular area. When the wall falls down and the fire gets out, it might be my ox, it might be my mammon, but the mice, again, it's not my arrow. Therefore, that will be a case where I will be putter on anything that is tamun, anything that is hidden in Reuven's field. But ask the Gemara, 1 second, why stop at tamun? But that's not true just by tamun. Why don't I say the following? If this is the case they're talking about, where I went ahead and I lit my fire in my field, and there was a wall, and the fire was contained, and then extenuating circumstances occurred that caused the wall to come down. And now the fire spreads, so I say, I should be putter on everything. Why? Because that fire is no longer my arrow for any purposes, not just for tamun, but even for the property that's seen, that's revealed. Look at the Gemara, look at Rashi. One Rashi, Tikal Luchitzav, Shebesha Shehedlika Eish, Tainuz Vikas Chet, Lohaya Roy Lahazik Bechatzer Acheres. Because I'll say, remember again, the case over here is my field has a wall around it, therefore at the time that I shot my arrow, ultimately, again, my arrow was not capable of moving any further. So because of that, I shouldn't be chayiv for anything. To which the Gemara will say a startling revelation. El leman de islei mishum chitzav, islei nami mishum mamono. Wow. So we'll say, says the Gemara, up until now we were looking at this as a machlokes. In reality, it's not a complete machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan, who says isho mishum chitzav, agrees with Reish Lakish that of course ish is my mamon also. But rather, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, not only is ish my mamon, but under certain circumstances, ish could mamish even be my chetz. Ish could also be my arrow. Ish could also be my koach. So essentially what the Gemara now is saying is Rabbi Yochanan is building on Reish Lakish, not arguing on Reish Lakish. Not only is ish my mamon, but under certain circumstances, it could even be my chetz. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan, isli na mishum mamono. What's the practical ramification of Rabbi Yochanan Shita now that he holds that Ish is both Chetz and, or I should say, both Mamon and Chetz? Therefore, says Rashi, therefore, even in a case where I'm not chayiv in my fire, meaning the fire is not my arrow, even in that case, and I still have the ability to go ahead and be mechayiv mishum mamono. Mechayivin alei hilchach le'inyan giloy af agav v'kol lechitzav chayiv mishum mamono. So Bosei, what comes out over here, therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even in a case where lemaisa, the fire can't operate as my chetz, ultimately I'll still be chayiv for my mamono. Therefore, Bosei, let's bring this back to this case. Therefore, in this particular situation where what? In this particular situation where, again, I lit the fire, the field was encircled, and therefore when I lit the fire, the fire was contained. The wall then comes down after the fire was lit for some unavoidable circumstance. The fire gets out and damages Reuven's field. That can't be my chetz. That's not my arrow. Why is that not my arrow? Because when I shot my arrow, I know that my arrow was defined to a particular area. But yet, that's still going to be called what? That's still going to be called my mamon. That's still going to be called my ox. That's still going to be called my property. It's not my chetz, it's not my arrow, it's not my koach, but it's still my property. Therefore, when that fire gets down and burns down Reuven's field, I will be chayiv for all the damage it does, but I will be potter, I will be exempt for any damage that's done to tamun, any damage that's done to anything that is hidden. Okigon, shahayir lo v'godra, I'm sorry, so we'll say now the Gemara goes on. So now I'll just give you an example. Where could it be that my ish is like my mamon and not like my chetz? Kigon shahayelo legodra velo gadra. So we'll say the keys could be where what? Or ultimately, yes, I lit the fire, the wall was up. Then what happened? The wall fell down. But before the fire spread, I had the ability to go ahead and repair the wall, rebuild the wall, and contain the fire. But what? But I didn't. Look at Rashi. Below Gadra. Da'afagam d'leka l'chi yuve ahavar rishon. Mischayiv ashim sofo shlo shamra gachalo. So ligdra b'fanel. Because well, in a case like that, even though I might not be liable ultimately for the first act of kindling, but I will be chayiv for what? I will be chayiv for the fact that I did not take proper precautions when going ahead and containing the fire. V'chi me'achar, Siddiq Mar says, I'm sorry, v'lo gadra da'hasim shorohu. Because we'll say at that moment, so remember now, at this point in time, remember, we'll say, let's trace the case. When I lit the fire, and the wall was up. So remember, the fire starts out as my chet, it's my arrow. But the good news in this case is what? Is that the chet, the arrow, is contained to what? Contained to my property, to the walled area. Then after the fire is lit, the wall falls down. Okay? Not my fault, not because of the fire. I had time to repair the wall. I should have done that. I didn't do it. Now what happens? So now the fire continues out of my field, goes into Reuven's field. Suppose say that's no longer chitzav, that's no longer my chet, that's not my arrow, because my arrow was contained to the arrow in the wall was up. But what is that? That's my mamon. The Gemara says that's the equivalent to leaving the hasam shorohu. That fire is like my shar v'lo tapach ba'peh, and I forgot to close the stable door in front of my shar. So we'll say, if I forget to close the stable door in front of my shar, and my shar gets out, I am chayiv for the damage the shar does. So too over here. I lit the fire, the wall fell down, I had the opportunity to go and repair the wall, I didn't do so, fire gets out and damages, I'm responsible for that. But it's not my chet, it's not my arrow, but rather it's my ox that I didn't close the stable door in front of it, and therefore again, I'm chayiv for damages. I'm sorry?
Translated?
No, no, because remember, this will be Eish is going to be Nezek Shalim. Right. It's not like Shor, like Karen. It's like my Shor, and that it's like my Mamo. Right. But it's Eish, and therefore it's going to be Nezek Shalim. V'chim le'acher demand the Islam Mishum Chetziav, I'm sorry, Chitzav, Islam Mishum Amona. So we'll say, now that we've established that even if you hold Isho Mishum Chitzav, like Rabbi Yochanan, that your Eish is your fire, he also agrees that Isho Mishum Mamono, it's also my Mamon. So the Gemara says, so what is the practical difference now? So now essentially, Rabbi Yochanan also holds like Reish Lakish. So if that's the case again, so Lemay Naf Kamina, what are they really arguing about? To which so I'll tell you, L'chaybo ba'arba dvarim. So we'll say the Naf Kamina will be whether or not you're chayiv in the four categories of damage. Look at Rashi, L'chaybo b'dal dvarim, L'mandar mishum chitzav. According to the opinion, who says that when you're chayiv for your ish, you're also chayiv, meaning it's your arrow. Nami mechayiv la'im saraf isho yad adam chayiv ba'arba dvarim nezek tsar ripui v'sheves. So we'll say, because if you hold that the ish is your chayitz, if you hold that the ish ultimately is your arrow, so not only are you chayiv for damages done, right, but you're also chayiv again for the other categories of damage when you damage someone with your body. Meaning, if I damage, we'll say someone directly, it's not just damages I pay, but rather, again, there's nezek. Nezek is damages. Tsar is suffering, pain and suffering. Ripui, hospital bills. Sheves, lost wages. So we'll say, if you hold isho mishum mamono, I'm not chayiv for all those damages when I damage someone. If you hold isho mishum chitzav, that ultimately, again, that the ish is my arrow, then I'm chayiv for all of these categories of damages. Rashi just points out, we'll say, that the one damage that's missing from this list is boshes. Normally, one of the categories of damages you pay for is humiliation. That is missing from this list. Why, says Rashi? Because you're only chayiv to pay boshes when you intentionally damage someone. But when there is no intent to damage, there is no obligation for payment for humiliation. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, even though the mice at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan holds like Reish Lakish, that Isho Mishum Mamono, he just also happens to hold additionally that Isho Mishum Chitzav, the major nafkamina will be that if through your age you damage someone's person, you damage someone physically, according to Rabbi Yochanan holds Isho Mishum Chitzav, you're chayiv for all the categories of damages, and according to Reish Lakish, you will not be. Says the Gemara, let's go weiter. Alachara Mishan, so let's remember again, the Mishnah said that in the case of the dog that took the biscuit, that had the coal on it, then ate the biscuit and put the biscuit down on the pile of straw and burned down the pile of straw. So for the biscuit, the you have to pay nezek shalim, right? For the biscuit, because again, we're assuming that's what? We're assuming that that is an act of shame, birushus hanizak, in the domain of the damaged party, and therefore you pay nezek shalim. So Gemara says, man chayv, by the way, when we say he has to pay, who is he? Right? Who has to pay? So the Gemara says, bal kelef. Right? It's the owner of the dog who has to pay. If my dog ate the biscuit, I have to pay. So what's, I don't understand. Why don't we make the owner of the coal responsible as well? Because after all, what? After all, he went ahead and left his coal out, and the dog was able to go ahead and eat the coal. Right? So the Gemara says, why? No. Because the case is where the owner of the coal properly secured his coal, and the dog got in there anyway. So the Gemara says, Ike shishimer gachaloso. My boy Kalev Hassam. So let's say, I don't understand. If he secured the coal, then how did the dog get it? Right? Meaning, if he secured it, then how did the dog get the coal? Oh, Bishachata. What's the case of Osai? Where the dog burrowed underneath the door. So Reuven locked up the coal, right, in the right way, but the dog burrowed underneath the door in order to get the coal. So Admari Brad Kahana Zosomeras Stam Dalsos Chaturos Hein Eitzel Kelev. Supposed to say, what you see from here is what? Is apparently, again, it is normal to go for a dog to go ahead and burrow underneath a door. Look at Rashi. Zosomeres, Medichai Babal Kelev, Acharara Nezek Shalim, Amolav Shinui Huzesh Shechatres Hadelas. Supposed to say, so the fact ultimately, again, that's what? That we allowed, that we make the owner of the Gacheles, excuse me, we make the owner of the dog. Remember, we'll say the case over here is where, let's call it this, Reuven is baking a biscuit on coals. The dog takes the biscuit, and eats the biscuit, and places the coal down on a pile of straw. So you're chayiv nezek shalim, the owner of the dog is chayiv nezek shalim, ultimately, again, for the consumption of the biscuit. That's an act of shame. Says the Gemara, I understand, if he's chayiv for the biscuit, so what about the coal, meaning, isn't there some level of responsibility that the owner of the biscuit slash call, remember it's the same guy, ultimately allowed for the dog to get in there? So why isn't there some liability on his part? To which the Gemara says, because the owner of the coal slash biscuit locked the door. He locked the door, meaning he went ahead and he took the proper precautions to secure his food and ultimately to secure his coal. By which the Gemara says, so what happened? The dog burrowed. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, again, that it is normal for a dog to burrow underneath the door in order to get food. We'll say, now why does the Gemara have to say that? Because if it was abnormal, then what? Then it's Karen. Right? If it was if it would be abnormal for a dog to burrow underneath a door in order to get the biscuits or in order to get the coal, then might say that would be Mishuna. If it's Mishuna, it's Karen Tam. And if it's Karen Tam, you're Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. But the fact that you have to pay Nezek Shalim for the biscuit tells us that Lamaisa, again, this is considered to be a normative act. So the Gemara says, Heicha. Heicha. So the Gemara says, Heicha. Where is the dog eating the biscuit? So even with the achla begadish, the alma. So we'll say if he's just going to stam haystack. In other words, someone else. Let's say again. We'll say it's Reuven's biscuit coal, Shimon's dog, and the dog goes to eat or goes to put down the biscuit and the coal on what? On Levi's haystack. So if you say that, so how about you know Rabbi Yehuda Acher Veleka? We'll say that won't work. Why? Because remember, an animal is only chayiv for shein when. If it's bir b'stei acher, if the damage is done in the field of the damaged party. So if ultimately the biscuit is being consumed and the coal is being put down in another person's field, we'll call him Levi, someone else, then Lamaisa, why would the Bala Kelev, why would Reuven, the owner of the dog, be chayiv? To which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, the achla begodish de bal charara. No, I will say, what's the case? It's actually interesting. It must be the following. It must be that Reuven's dog, took Shimon's biscuit and coal and put the coal down on Shimon's pile of straw. So therefore, again, the biscuit is being consumed and the straw is being destroyed where? In the reshus of the nizak. Ultimately, again, in the reshus, in the property of the damaged party. To which the Gemara says, by the way, tifshot, we can learn out from here, the pi para, that the mouth of a cow, kechatzer hanizak dami. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. It must be that the mouth of an animal has the status of the chatzer in which the animal is standing. I will say, now just understand this for just a moment, it's actually quite interesting. So let's say my animal is standing in Reuven's field. So whose reshus is the mouth of the animal? So it must be that the mouth of the animal is considered to be the reshus of the nizak, of the damaged party. Now, let's just play this out. Why? So listen to this. Remember, so I keep on changing the names. Let me not do that. Reuven's dog goes ahead and burrows underneath the door, gets Shimon's biscuit and coal, takes the biscuit and coal out, goes ahead, eats the biscuit, puts down the coal, and destroys the pile of straw. So we know now that for the biscuit, what's the owner's, what's Reuven's liability? Nezek Shalim. Why? Because it's Shein Birshus HaNizak. It's an act of Shein, which is when the animal damages through pleasurable activity in the domain of the damaged party. The Gemara just says, by the way, you see from here that the mouth of the animal is not considered to be like Reuven, like the owner's Rishus, but rather must be what? Like the damaged party, like Shimon's Rishus, why Rabosai? Because if that's not the case, the I kechatzer hamazik dummy, because we'll say if the mouth of an animal is considered to be like the domain of the damaging party, then listen to this, Leimalei, let Reuven say to Shimon, my boy riftach bepuma de kalboy, what is your bread doing in my dog's mouth? That's right. As we'll say, so the maisa again. Remember again, if the mouth of the animal, like the reshus of the mazik, like the reshus ultimately of the damager, then the damager could say, listen, the only reason you got yourself into trouble is because you allowed your biscuit to come into my dog's mouth. Your biscuit, in fact, is trespassing. Your biscuit does not belong in my chutzre. It does not belong in my animal's mouth. Therefore, the maisa again, get it out. And if my animal ate it, the liability is yours. The Gemara says, it's clear that we can't entertain such a possibility. The Gemara will say, from the beginning we know what the halacha is, but we have to entertain the possibility. So remember, there are two different ways you could look at the mouth of the animal. Is the mouth of the animal the reshus hamazik? Is it the domain of the mazik, or ultimately is it the domain of the nizak? Interestingly enough, as much as the animal is the property of the mazik, the mouth must have the status of reshus hanizak as the domain of the damaged party, because otherwise, Rabbi Yosef, any damager could always have a claim against the damaged party, saying, you brought this upon yourself by essentially trespassing into the mouth of my animal. Rather, it must be that lamaisa, the mouth has the status of the Roshos HaNizog, therefore you're going to be chayiv ultimately when the animal consumes the biscuit or does any other damage. So the Gemara says, listen to this. We're not finished. So the Gemara says, listen to this, because we asked this question. So we actually asked this question. Is the mouth of the cow considered to be like the chatzar of the nizak, like the property of the damaged party, or like the property of the damager? Vi amrit. And if you say that the mouth of the cow is like the chatzar of the mazik, so shein dechayev rachman lehechem mishkachasla, sabosai, you'll never have a case of shein. Why would you never have a case of shein? Because remember, in order to do shein, what do you need? Ubir bistei acher. Damage has to happen in the rishus of the nizak, in the rishus of the damaged party. If the mouth of the animal is the rishus of the mazik, then by definition, whenever the animal eats someone else's stuff, that consumption, I will say again, I might be chai for what I ate, the animal will be chai for what it's ate, but don't be chai for shame, because that property isn't, that damage is not happening in the rishus of the nizak, that damage is happening in the rishus of the mazik. No. You can still come up with the case of shame. How so? Kigon shenis chachicha b'kos alahanasa. So the case could be where what? Where the animal, for example, went ahead and scratched itself against the wall. So the animal had an itch, it scratched itself against the wall, knocked down the wall. So we'll say that'll be a case of shame. In other words, the Gemara's answering is, you're right. What you have to come up, a case of shame, can't have to do with consumption. It'll have to do with other acts that the animal does with its body. That'll be the case of shame midorais. Because you're right, if you hold that the mouth of the animal is the reshus of the mazik, is the domain of the damager, then by definition, you're right, any act of consumption can satisfy the criteria of shame. But you can come up with a case where the animal scratches itself against the wall, knocks down the wall. Or the tin faperos. Or we'll say, what happens? The animal rolls around. Again, in order to scratch itself, it rolls around on fruit and destroys the fruit. So we'll say those will be acts of shame, even if you hold that the mouth of the animal is rishus hamazik, is like the domain of the damager, you could still come up with acts of shame, but they're non-consumption-related acts. Maskif la marzutra. So marzutra is the kasha. Vahaba inon kasha yivaragala tumo. Atumo, Rabbi, so remember again, when the pasuk describes the act of shein, it describes it by saying kasha yivar hagalal, as the tooth destroys atumo until there is nothing left. So the pasuk describes the act of shein as an act of consumption. Veleka, suppose you're telling me now, if you hold that the mouth of an animal is like the rishus of the mazik, then in essence there is never a case of shein that involves consumption. Ravina said, no, I'll tell you the case. The shaft salmi. Both said the case could be where the animal rubs itself against the wall to scratch an itch, or to an itch, a scratch, whatever, whichever, right? To comfort itself. And what happens? There are murals or paintings on the wall. And by the animal rubbing itself against the wall, the animal rubs out the murals, rubs out the paintings. So we'll say that's a case of kashay varagala tumo, because the animal is obliterating something. Lav dafka with its mouth, but obliterating something with its body. Ravashi Amar, the Pasi Psui, Ravashi says it could be a case where what? Where ultimately, again, when it rolls on the fruit, again, to comfort itself, it what? It smashes the fruit into the ground in a way that the fruit are no longer consumable. So you can have cases of shame where the animal just totally destroys the item. Tashma, supposed to say another braisa, Shisa Boas HaKelev, Shisa Boas HaNachash Potter. Suppose I listen to this. Again, we're still continuing with this idea. See, if you incite a dog, or you incite a snake, potter, and then the dog goes on to do damage, or the snake goes on to do damage, you're potter. So the Gemara says, man potter, who's potter? Remember, we'll say there are two people here. There's who? There's the owner, and there's the inciter. So when we say that if the dog is incited or the snake is incited, he's potter, who's the he? The owner is incited or the mishasa, ultimately the inciter is potter. So the Gemara says, mishasa potter, the chayev bal kelev. The inciter is potter, but ultimately what? The owner is chayev. Now listen to this. Now Rashi says over here, potter mishasa, the grama benizakin potter. Because it will say, remember again, and we'll get into this more, but you are potter on causative damages. You're potter for causation when it comes to damages. I'm only chayiv for direct damage, but if I cause damage to a kura, I'm not chayiv for that. Now, obviously, we'll have to define the scope of that, because many of the things we've seen already have been causative in nature. But the idea is, if I incite the animal goes and bites someone, I'm not chayiv. Now, the owner of the animal is chayiv. Why? Why? Because it will say, if I am an animal owner, I am responsible to keep my animal literally and figuratively on a short leash. Right? I'm obligated to make sure my animal does not damage. And if I don't do that, even though it's a result of someone else inciting it, I, the owner of the animal, am chayiv. V'i amrit kechatzer amazik dami. Now watch this. If you hold that the mouth of the animal has the status of the domain of the damaging party, watch this. Leimalei. My boy yadach bepuma de cowboy. Abu said, listen to this. So if you hold that the mouth of the animal like the rishus of the mazik, so when Reuven goes and incites my dog, and my dog then goes and bites Shimon, so Shimon comes to you and says, your dog bit me, owe me money. I say to him, no, what are you doing? Why did you trespass inside the mouth of my dog? Right? What is your hand doing in the rishus of my dog? And Abu said, to us that sounds a bit strange, but the idea halachically what the Gemara is saying is that if the mouth of the dog is the rishus of the mazik, then in reality, if your hand finds itself in my dog's mouth, then at the end of the day, you are trespassing upon my property. So the Gemara says, no, Ema pater af mishasa. Rather, both say, perhaps what the Gemara actually means is, in this kind of case, even the mishasa is pater. In other words, not only is the owner of the dog or the owner of the snake pater, but even the Mishas is Pater, even the insider is Pater. So I will say, ultimately, again, the way we pass it in this case is that the owner of the dog, the owner of the snake, will be Chayiv. The Mishas, the insider, is Pater. Because even though, again, by inciting you rob the animal up, that's Grama Benizikin, that's ultimately causation, and therefore you're going to be Pater. The owner of the animal is obligated to watch over his animal, make sure his animal doesn't do any damage, and therefore will be Chayiv for damages. V'baisim, another possibility is, the Afke Linive Besarte. But the other possibility, we could talk about a case where what? Where the dog, literally, afkin nive are fangs. I don't know, does the dog have fangs? The dog, sharper teeth, incisors. The dog bears its fangs. So we'll say, so what's the chap over here with this? The Gemara tried to come up with a case where the dog could inflict the wound without the hand coming into the mouth. So if the dog bears its fangs, its incisors, and drags that against the flesh of Shimon's hand. So in that case, the hand's not coming into the dog's mouth, but the mice of the dog is inflicting damage. That might be a case where everyone would agree that also, even if you hold that the mouth of the animal is the reshus of the mazik, if the hand of Shimon never enters into my dog's mouth, but rather the dog inflicts damage like that, sabi chayiv is also. But again, bottom line, the way we pass it in that case is the owner of the dog is chayiv, or the snake is chayiv, the mishas of the insider is not. Tashma. I'm sorry?
The dog's not getting any.
Correct, it's not Shane. It's Karen. It's just an act of damage. Correct, it's not a Shane case. But remember, this idea that the mouth of the animal could be like Rishus HaMazik is independent of Shane or regular or anything else. It's just it's looking at defining that makom. What is the makom of the mouth? Is it Rishus HaMazik or Rishus HaNisak? And that definition will then go across the board. Tashma. There was another case. Hishik Boas Anachash. It's not a fascinating case. Hishik Boas Anachash. Look at Rashi. Shenatal Sanashach Biado. Vegia Piv Liad Chavero. Ache Nichnesa Lesocho. The Nashkan. So listen to this case. Reuven takes a snake, opens up the mouth of the snake, causes the fangs. Good. Incisors, fangs. Okay, good. Oh, Hashem, so wonderful. Right. Exposes the fangs of the snake, brings the snake over to Shimon's hand, and essentially stabs Shimon with the snake. Right? Puts the snake's teeth into Shimon's hand. Shimon dies as a result of the poisonous snake bite. Okay, so what happens? So Tashma, Hishik Boas HaNachash, supposed to say, now the Shaila is, because you know what the Shaila is going to be here, who killed Shimon? Who killed Shimon? Was it the snake who killed Shimon? Or was it me who killed Shimon? So watch this. So, not me, Reuven. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Mechayiv. Rabbi Huda says that Reuven is Chayiv for this act. Right? And we say Chayiv, so Rashi says, Misa. Reuven is liable to a death penalty because Reuven is viewed as a murderer. So Rabbi Huda says he's Chayiv. Chavim potter. Chavim say, you're potter in this case. So watch this. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. V'amar Avacha Bar Yaakov. So according to Rabbi Huda, you have to say, Aras nachash vein shinafu omed. It must be able to say that. What according to Rabbi Yehuda, the venom of snake is already present in the fangs. Meaning the venom is already there. Therefore, lefichach makish besayif v'nachash pater. So we'll say, essentially, the snake is like a loaded gun. And therefore, again, when Reuben goes ahead and puts that into Shimon's hand, he's pulling the trigger, meaning the venom is already ready to go, and ultimately, again, the snake is just a vehicle. The snake, the venom is there, the snake is the sword, the snake is the gun, and therefore, Reuben, who put the snake into Shimon's hand, who plunged the fangs into Shimon's hand, is going to be chayiv misa. On the other hand, Levichach Makish Besayif, Makish Abosai, is the one who administered the snake bite. Right? This is the one who brought the snake ultimately over to Reuven, who brought it over to Shimon, and is going to be Chayiv. V'nachash Pater. But ultimately, again, Abosai, the Nachash, so to speak, has no liability here. However, Divrichem, according to the rabbis, Aras Nachash Me'atzmo Maki. Abosai, according to Chum, no, that's not the way it works. The venom is not automatically available in the fangs, but rather what? The Nachash generates it. What that means, Rabosei, is that the moment that Reuben goes ahead and puts the snake's teeth into Shimon's hand, the snake itself creates a process by which it injects the venom. The venom's not there, but the snake itself now, so to speak, chooses to inject the venom into Shimon. Lefichach, nachash beskila, umakish pater. Therefore, Rabosei, it is the nachash, so to speak, that is chayiv death. Again, the Gemara is just trying to point out over here, the idea being that it's the nachash who's viewed as killing Shimon, and not Reuven who brought the snake over. I'm sorry, it'll be grown up in his egan, correct. So the Gemara says, now if you hold that, the mouth of an animal is considered to be like the rishus of its owner, like the rishus of the mazik, so leimalei, my ba'i yadach bepuma dechibai. So let him say, what is your hand doing in my mouth, snake's mouth? As well say, so now when Shimon dies, and Beis Din ultimately again, or let's see, even if he doesn't have it, there are damages, so why can't the owner of the snake simply say, my snake's mouth is my rishus, what was your hand doing in my snake's mouth? To which the Gemara says, 1 second, le'in katala lo amrinam. So we'll say at the end of the day, when it comes lein katala harigas nachash, so we'll say we're going to get into now a different halacha, which is that when an animal kills someone else, that animal is put to death. Mm-hmm. So the maisa, when it comes to putting the animal to death, if it killed someone else, we don't advance this argument of what was your hand doing in my animal's mouth. If someone died as a result of the animal, we will go ahead and kill the animal. So the Gemara says, where do we know that from? So listen to this case. Reuven enters into Shimon's Rishus without Shimon's Rishus. So Reuven trespasses onto Shimon's Rishus. And what happens? V'nogcho shoro shal balabais. And ultimately, again, Shimon, who's the owner of the field, Shimon's ox gores Reuven. Umeis, and Reuven dies. So what's talacha? Hashar b'skila, the shar is put to death. Ubailim peturim minakofer. But the owner of the animal is pater from any kind of restitution. So the Gemara says, "Bailim peturim minakofer my time." So we'll say, why is the owner of the animal pater from any type of restitution? The amarle birshusi my boys. Because we'll say, Reuven went into Shimon's field, gets gored by Shimon's ox, and Nebuch dies. Shimon's not chai for anything. Why? Why? Because Reuven trespassed. Right, because Reuven had no right ultimately to be there. And if Reuven had no right to be there, then Lemaisa, again, Reuven can't sue for damages when he is there. Rather what? When it comes to matters of death, rather we see over here that when an animal ultimately causes the death of another, then Lemaisa, again, the owner of that animal When an animal kills someone else, even if you want to say that Lamaisa, there's no liability on the part of the animal for damages caused, nevertheless, such an animal is automatically executed.
A security dog.
So okay, well, we'll discuss some of the applications. But we'll say so again. So what's up? So now we'll say. So now understand the following. So Lamaisa, when we stop, we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up with this sugya Mi'ez Hashem tomorrow, but understand what we're ending off with over here. So first of all, just a little bit of closure. Let's go back for a moment. In the Machlokas of Yochanan and Rish Lakish, about Isha Mishum Chetzav, Isha Mishum Mamono, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that we hold like Rish Lakish, that Isha Mishum Mamono, that ultimately, again, my fire is like my ox. Therefore, again, when gauging what I'm responsible for in the realm of damages, so Lemaise, again, I am chayiv ultimately, again, for any damage done by my fire, as I would be by my ox. That's number one. Next, I just wanted to close out that previous sugya. Now, we'll say, now what we're entering in is to a different type of discussion, which is Lemaise Grama ben Ezekin. So when it comes to Grama ben Ezekin, it appears that Lemaise, again, Lemaisa, I'm not going to be chayiv for causation when it comes to damages done. Therefore, in the case where I rile up the dog, rile up the snake, I, the mishaset, the riler upper, I am not the instigator. I am not going to be chayiv for that, but ultimately the owner of the animal will. Now, Blasei, the Gemara is introducing us to a different discussion, which is a fundamental machlokas, is the mouth of the animal. Is the mouth of the animal considered to be like the rishus of the nizak, or the rishus of the mazik? The Gemara seems to say over and over and over that it has to be the rishus of the nizak. Why? Because it will say if you hold that the mouth of an animal is like the rishus of the mazik, then what? What effectively occurs? There's never liability for damages. Because then any time somebody gets damaged with the mouth of my animal, either when they get damaged again on their body or their money gets damaged, I always have a simple claim went out, which is, what was your hand, or what was your food, or what was your property doing in the mouth of my animal? Therefore, the Gemara seems to say that position is simply untenable, because you have no then chiyuv and nezikin. Therefore, it must be that for halachic purposes, even though the animal itself is considered to be the property of the mazik, the property of the damager, the mouth of the animal seems to have the designation of the rishus of the nizak, of the property of the damaged party, and therefore, again, when the animal eats the food of someone else, that and the animal standing in the rishus of the nizak, that is considered to be ultimately like property done, damaged shame done on the rishus of the nizak, and therefore there'll be absolute liability. So we'll say we'll stop over here. We're not finished yet. Meaning tomorrow we're going to start off with. I would urge you to get here early, 5:40, just because you don't want to miss this piece, Mises Sharm, and this piece also. Because we'll say next we're going to speak about before the Mishnah the obligation to who has the obligation to protect from damages. Do I have the obligation? Does the owner of the damaging force have the obligation? That I'm interested to be continued tomorrow. Well, because it's my animal. So every